841 Galesburg's Morning News, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Tom Arida, Tyler Gumb, Nick Isher. Thanks for being with us here on this Monday morning. Well, big news from G&M Distributors. We're going to get to that. We'll talk a little bit about the history of G&M that goes back a long, long way. And joining us this morning, the president of G&M Distributors, Adam Vitale. Adam, good morning. How are you
today?
Good morning.
Great to be here. It's a little chilly out, but, you know, can't complain after a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, I know. And who doesn't love a Monday, right?
Exactly. They're always fun.
We get to come do this again. That's the thing, right?
Exactly.
Glass half full, right?
Yes.
All right. So G&M Distributors has been around for a long time. What, 1946?
Yeah,
is that
1946.
Right? Your grandfather started the business.
Rented 800 square feet on Main Street in an old Buick garage. And had three employees and started the company.
And really, I mean, he went out on a limb to do that.
He did, yeah. We had, as Italian families do, there was a huge Italian family fight. And he left the family business. It was his wife's family business that was being liquidated. And left with one supplier, Schlitz Beer, the beer that made Milwaukee famous, and started G&M. And it kept growing from that point forward.
And you've continued to grow, and since you've taken over, your father, the late Guy Vitale Jr., just everybody in the community knew and loved him. He did so much for the community, and that's one thing that I know with his legacy, you've wanted to continue to
Absolutely.
Really be involved in the community.
Yeah, you know, giving back to the community is part of our DNA at G&M, and it's been going on for my grandfather, my father, and we really, that's a model we believe in. You know, we're only as strong as the communities we serve.
And you mentioned communities when you said that, because you're not only here in Galesburg now, you've added a location in Dixon as
correct,
well.
Correct. Yeah, we cover about 24 counties, so basically from the Iowa border to the Wisconsin border, so that northwest corner of a quarter of Illinois is really all serviced by us now.
How many let's say, for instance, we'll start with like Anheuser-Busch products. How many distributors just in the state of Illinois? It doesn't seem to be that many. You cover pretty big territories.
Yeah, there used to be a lot more, and now there's, I think we've got just under 20, maybe 16 to 20 distributors in Illinois for Anheuser-Busch, and there's about just under 500 in the country.
Yeah, so which even in the state is more than I even thought at this point, because sometimes you'll see the building whether it's Peoria or Springfield or whatever, it's like, okay, well, they probably cover a pretty big territory,
exactly.
I guess we're in a big state too. Yeah. Well, some big news that you have to announce and has to do with a non-alcoholic product, but something product that I guess you guys have been involved with for how long?
For 68 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So this is a big move for
you
then.
It is. Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of time to shift some strategy at G&M, and we've kind of really been looking at things. And as a result, we're going to be divesting of our Pepsi portfolio, which is a small part of our business now. As we've grown, we haven't been able to grow with Pepsi. And so we're going to be selling it to the company that actually has the bottling rights for the area, A.D. Husing Corporation of Pepsi Cola of Rock Island. So we'll do that at the end of the month, and it's giving us an opportunity to restructure and re-strategize the company and kind of give us some new energy and a new focus.
So, and this is by choice. You didn't
yes.
say,
oh, absolutely.
Just, yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the trends is no secret, and soft drinks haven't been that great. You know, consumers are changing constantly. You know, just like your last segment talking about chalkboards.
Right.
You know, consumers that were, you know, a lot of us, I grew up, of course, drinking Pepsi. Didn't ever touch that stuff in the red can.
Me neither.
But, you know, a lot of people are changing now. And so this was an opportunity for us to refocus the company and focus on some new products and just change stuff up.
So you will not be distributing Pepsi products anymore. But, yeah, as you said, that doesn't mean G&M is going away.
No, not at all.
I guess, relatively speaking, maybe a small part of your business.
Pepsi represents about 15% of the company now. And it's our smallest territory geographically. And, you know, as you alluded to earlier, with distributors growing and they're trying to grab more scale, we just didn't see that opportunity with Pepsi. Pepsi Cola has a completely different strategy. G&M is actually one of the last two independent distributors in the United States.
Really?
Yeah. So there are just two of us left. And so that's just their corporate strategy is really changing.
Adam Vitale is the president of G&M Distributors. So the Pepsi, you're getting out of that particular brand. You mentioned with A.D. Husing out of Rock Island being a bottler, meaning do they actually, is there a plant where they are actually bottling the drink?
It used to be. So okay. They're still referred to as a bottler. They're part of a co-op called Wispac. So most of the Pepsi we drink in Galesburg is made in Watertown, Wisconsin. And there are some products made in Quincy, Illinois as well. So it's still Midwestern, mainly out of those two plants.
Well, you mentioned that because I remember sometimes seeing like on pallets or whatever that Wispac name.
Okay. Exactly. So Wispac is a cooperative where when bottling Pepsi and all the various products they represent got too expensive, and there were so many changes, it was easier to form one big group and do it for the entire this part of the region of the country.
But that doesn't mean you're totally getting out soda business either or some other drink that are on the non-alcoholic side of things. So.
Yeah, no, we're rapidly trying to grow, and we're really trying to have a new focus into better-for-you, low-calorie beverages. One of the real exciting brands we just got was a company called Polar Seltzer. It's been around, I think, for over 100 years on the East Coast, and it's zero-calorie, naturally flavored waters, and it's exploding out east. And that trend of those zero-calorie waters, they've still got flavor, definitely different than a soft drink, is really growing and really trying to jump into the tea business a lot more too.
Well, and Teavana, the product, which I keep seeing, I keep hearing ads for, and I hadn't tried it yet, but I'm really, really interested. I'm glad you brought us some samples. I'm really looking forward to giving that a try. Talk about that company and the
Teavana,
relationship.
Yeah, Teavana, so it's an interesting partnership. So Teavana, the brand, is owned by Starbucks.
Okay.
And then the tea is actually being represented outside Starbucks stores by Anheuser-Busch. As we get more into the non-alcoholic side from Anheuser-Busch, so we're going to be growing with that. They've lots of flavors. Everything is low calorie, natural fruit juices, and it's kind of a craft iced tea and just really good flavors. So if you can't handle that plain iced tea stuff, this is a great one to try first.
Well, and if you're like me also as a bottled water fan, and I love a cool bottle,
yeah.
Number one.
Exactly.
And the first time I saw this particular brand, which I did not know you guys distributed it, Voss, such
yes.
a cool bottle. So that's another thing you'll continue to
distribute. Yeah, Norwegian water. It was interesting when they came into our office several years ago. The guy from Voss said, you know, we've got this water and this is the shelf price. And I said, boy, I don't know if it'll work in this area. And he said, just try it. And it's been really successful. It's a really neat company. Big portion of their proceeds go to drilling wells in Africa and providing water for those less fortunate than us. And so it's just the whole company's got a really nice mission.
Adam Vitale is the president of G&M Distributors. And as he said, they are going to divest their interest in Pepsi as of the end of this month. And no, that doesn't mean you won't be able to get Pepsi around here still.
Absolutely. Yes, it'll still be here.
You'll still be able to get your Pepsi products. You know, I'm with you. That stuff in the red can, the only way it's good is when you mix alcohol with it to kill the flavor.
Exactly,
that's what I've always
exactly.
kind of the way I've always
Add
felt about it.
A little rum to it or something.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, like restaurants you go in that would have one or the other,
yeah,
and they would ask, if I would ask for a Pepsi and say, is this okay? I would say, no, give me an iced tea.
Yeah.
Because
some people get so loyal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, just to completely, and they, you know, the people, they would do the taste test. They taste nothing alike.
No, not at all. No, Pepsi's a little sweeter.
Yeah.
And Coke's got a little bit different flavor profile. But the most loyal consumer in the soft drink business is still a Diet Coke drinker. We cannot get those guys to switch.
I just had that conversation yesterday. I think we were talking about that I don't, that is really interesting to me.
It's just, they love it.
Yeah. But to me, like the more other, like colas and especially generics, mm-hmm. their profile leans more toward Pepsi,
which
tells me something like, well, that's a really good move. There's a reason they're doing that.
But, absolutely.
So again, you'll still be able to get your Pepsi products and G&M distributors not going away in any way, shape, or form. Adam Vitale is the president. Let's talk about the business and I guess in your growing up mm-hmm. and growing up in the business with your father, your grandfather running it, kind of the changes you've seen and then even since you've taken over and looking
absolutely.
Forward.
Yeah, you know, it's really changed a lot. You know, it used to be, I would say, there was a lot less product choice and variety in the market and consumers just kind of didn't demand as much. And that's probably the biggest change we've seen is this proliferation of items. You know, I think G&M probably when it started maybe had 4 or 6 items. And now we've got about 3,500 different items.
Wow.
And it really, you know, a consumer wants, a low calorie or higher calorie natural sugar, something, you know, artificial sweetener. And then within beer, there's, you know, the craft beer explosion has been a lot of fun for us. So it's just really changed in choice and variety. And just like everything else, technology's had a big impact. But I always joke that I feel the beverage industry used to be a lot greener when we had returnable bottles and things were simpler. We would take the bottle to the store, consumer drink it, they'd bring it back for deposit. We'd get sterilized and refilled. So it's changed a lot.
Yeah, and that, and you know, as a kid growing up, we all would go out looking for bottles. Say, hey, can I go get a nickel or a quarter enough to buy a Twinkie and a Pepsi?
Exactly. Yeah, there's still something about Pepsi in a glass bottle that just tastes so good.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, as far as the alcohol side, you mentioned the craft beer market, which is something that's give me a definition, because I initially thought, okay, either somebody doing it at home or just a very, very small local brewery. Yeah. But now you've got the bigger companies that have gotten into that business. Yep. They're not doing it, producing as much as they are, say, as a Budweiser. But is it, I mean, so give me a definition of a craft beer.
That's, so that's a very controversial question in the beer industry. What is craft beer? And it's a tough one to answer because there's things like Iron Spike that are truly a craft beer, a local beer, Bent River from Rock Island, another true local craft beer. But like you said, some of the big brewers, Anheuser-Busch InBev, Miller Coors, they're all making smaller production beers as well. And so in my definition, those are all considered craft beers. Now, some enthusiasts will say, well, a craft beer is only independently owned. But then you look at some of these independent owners and they're injected with private equity funds or they're owned by a bigger, you know, fund of some type. So it's like, is that really craft beer? You know, you look at Sam Adams, people say, oh, is the original craft beer? Well, not really.
That's a really big company.
It's a really huge company and they make, you know, a lot of stuff that's not beer or it's flavored malt beverage. So it just, it really varies. It's one of those things that's kind of an abused word now, but there's so much great beer on the market and you can, whether it's local, national, or multinational.
So how many, just beer itself, how many different beers do you guys distribute?
Oh, gosh.
Or can you even count?
I can't even count. Probably 300-ish.
Wow.
Yeah, and that would include different sizes within the same. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of companies will do a seasonal beer, a special one, a special edition, a one-off. Some beers only available in kegs, some cans, bottles. So it's just a bunch of variety, which is, it's a lot of fun.
Talk about the changes you've seen. Adam Vitale is the president of G&M Distributors. Changes with the corporate getting more involved. I mean, the InBev takeover of Anheuser-Busch.
Absolutely.
And that, well, and there was also that story out there, the possibility of them also taking over the Miller side of things too. Is that still a possibility?
So they did actually.
Oh,
so
they did.
So Anheuser-Busch InBev owns Miller Coors outside the United States.
Okay, outside. Okay.
So they bought SAB Miller, which stands for South African Breweries Miller. They own Miller Coors along with the Molson family. And so Anheuser-Busch bought it outside the United States, but inside the United States, Molson Coors is still alive and well, known as Miller Coors to most of us. But yeah, there's these big brewers, like most things in big industry, consumer goods, kind of get bigger. And I think that's where we've seen some of the growth in the local smaller companies too, is they've been able to come in and capture a little bit of market share and challenge them a little bit. But one thing that the big brewers have is just so much emphasis on quality. And they haven't lost that, which is something I'm really proud of. And they still have a culture of giving back too, and that kind of cascades all the way down to us.
Well, it's interesting with the Anheuser-Busch and, you know, some of the ads that they'll run from time to time showing where each of their local, quote-unquote, local breweries are.
Absolutely.
That they have, you know, that everything's not coming from St. Louis. It's not getting shipped across the country. It's coming from someplace fairly local to where you live, so it'll be fresher.
Yeah, it is. And most of our beer here originates in St. Louis, but it depends on the brand. Some brands come from Ohio. Occasionally they'll come from New York, but mainly everything here originates in the Midwest. It's interesting because you can go to the East Coast, you know, Midwest, you can go to China and drink a Budweiser and it still tastes pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty amazing feat.
As opposed to some of the sodas. That's a completely different market when you get overseas.
Correct.
Yeah. Adam Vitale is the president of G&M Distributors. The big news, they will no longer be the Pepsi distributor as of the end of the month, but still distributing.
Just about over 3,500 items. Yeah,
wow.
So lots to drink.
Still
plenty to drink.
Still plenty out there. And, and again, it wasn't by any means even close to being the biggest part of your business.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the future of G&M and the business you're in.
Our future really, you know, like this kind of postures us for some future growth. It allows us to redeploy some assets. And so we're going to continue to grow in the non-alcoholic space, really focus a lot on beer too. And our wine and spirits business is really important and rapidly growing. So we're just kind of re-looking at things. And, you know, there's, I think, some other ventures we're going to get into. We've started to just dabble into snack foods a little bit. And that's been a lot of fun. We represent a small company out of Sterling, Illinois called Woody's Popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, great, great stuff. And so we're kind of looking into things like that, too, to just kind of grow. I mean, we're still in growth mode. The company wants, you know, we're here for the long run and lots of opportunities out there. So I think you'll see us get more into the snacks and then the better for you healthy non-alcoholic beverages.
I hope you do a better job of it than Anheuser-Busch did when they came out with the Eagle snacks.
They tasted so good.
They were actually good.
I think they overspent on the quality for the price, and they couldn't make the numbers work.
Yeah, and the Woody's, by the way, I see in Hy-Vee Gas, for instance.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
See it there. That's really cool. So future, and you mentioned the spirits and wine. When did G&M actually get into that portion of the business?
In the 1950s. The late 40s we did. My grandfather formed a relationship with Hiram Walker at the time, mm-hmm. which is long gone. Of course, Peoria was the distilling capital of the United States. So right in our backyard, we had this massive distillery, which parts of it still exist there, and started in the company. Was really built on three things: Schlitz beer, Canadian Club whiskey, and Pepsi. And luckily, we diversified over the years, and that's kind of why this is showing that. Because if we had stayed with Canadian whiskey and Schlitz beer, we wouldn't be talking today. I'd be somewhere else doing something different.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. You don't hear too much about the Schlitz.
No,
anymore.
Unfortunately not. No.
Which is kind of interesting because it seems like there's maybe a comeback that those are almost like craft beers now with some of those Falstaff and Schlitz that people are going to, I've got to get one of those because it's,
kind of retro.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything else you want to get to that's going on with G&M?
No, we're continuing to, like I said, we're still going to be here for the long haul, continuing to invest in the community, and the communities that we serve from here really to all the way up to the Wisconsin border. And it's a fun business to be in. We appreciate and thank all of our customers and consumers that have been, drank Pepsi over the years. Pepsi's been really, really good to us, been good to our families, and it's enabled us to give back a lot to the community too. You look around the community, there's scoreboards, different things that were funded, either in large part due to Pepsi and the profitability we were able to, capture from it. So it's been a really, really great run and time to make some changes.
Yeah, and I always knew that the one thing at Rova, the reason we were able to have scoreboards because of Pepsi, Pepsi at the games, and I was fine with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a really cool thing. Yeah. Well, Adam, we appreciate everything you do for our community and continued much success.
Thank you. I appreciate it.